conference song. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Rob. And whole time he was singing, I was thinking, mine eye affecteth mine heart. You look around, you look at people, look in their eyes, and so many are lonely, they have no hope, and they need Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, Brother Caleb, where are you? There he is, way back there. Last year, we had our first year of our youth explosion. Oh, we would never judge you. And it was a great, great experience. Brother Caleb, of course, was, you know, he was nervous and he was just, you know, not real sure what to expect. And he asked me what to expect. And I said, how would I know what to expect? And we just really didn't know. And it was great. It just went very, very well. He did a great job. And you know, one thing about Brother Caleb, he loves your teenagers, but he loves all teenagers. And he really wants to see him saved. And as Rob was singing, also I thought of all the lonely faces of teenagers. Just watch them. Look around. You say, oh, they're doing their own thing. They so many of them, you know, if they heard the gospel, if somebody just cared about them, they'd get saved. And they're looking. They really are. And so anyway, I'm excited about Brother Caleb having the youth explosion again this year. And he has some little cards out on the table out there and for you to purchase some of these items as you did last year and have a part in this. He'll give you statistics, I'm sure. And you'll find out, you know, those of you that had a part last year, just how much you invested in that and how much God used it. And I believe he's going to use it again. I'm looking forward to this year. And I've asked Brother Caleb to come and get you excited about the youth explosion. Then he's going to preach to us. Brother Caleb, you come.
Statistics. All right. I'm going to give you some true statistics, though, and not just make them up. Yeah, 5,000 saved. No. We did have a lot of fun last year. It wasn't that funny. I am a funny guy, but I don't know about that. But we had a lot of fun last year with Youth Explosion, and I really was a wreck last year. I didn't know what to expect. I went to we went to pastor school, and Brother Reno Likens was there, and I was called to preach. And a lot of things went up to how I was called to preach, but he was preaching, and the message that had finally clicked, hey, that's what God wants you to do. But he told all of us young men, you know, it's enough to just come into conference is not enough for your teenagers. You need to see teenagers around you being saved. And I'll give you some statistics in a little bit, but I really got burdened for the teenagers in our area, and just looking at the divorce rate around here, and it still breaks my heart when a little kid asked me today, how many brothers and sisters do you have? I said, I have 9. Like, how many dads do you have? And I know you kind of laugh and snicker about that, but it's sad that the kids have come to, that's the norm for them, that they don't know who their dad or mom is, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I have a great message you're going to want to hear. And a little bit about that, but last year we had an awesome time. We had a high day of 189, and that was the day that Pastor spoke. And we had 60 teenagers saved and 19 baptized. And I think that's great for our size and how many people we had. Again, I still can see the day that we have this place packed with teenagers, but it's going to take a lot of work. Again, we're competing with TV and internet and their friends, and just to say, hey, why don't you come to church and learn about God? I know that we say, hey, that'd be awesome. That'd be a perfect world. We don't live there, though, so we have to reward them for coming. So that's why we do give away prizes, give away rewards. Again, last year we had the prize cards, and those worked really well. We have blue for the guys. We have pink for the girls. Out of there on the table, if you see something that you can help with, I know we have like silly bands and footballs, basketballs, stuff teenagers like, and try to get them excited about coming. To Youth Explosion. We're going to have a lot of fun. I know some of the adults were kind of shocked at some of the games we played last year. I don't want to ask if you remember a certain game, but we're not going to ever do again. The teenagers would remember that game. I thought it was hilarious, but we will not speak of it ever again. But we had a lot of fun. And did you know that green baby food will come out of red carpets? I found that out last year. Brother Tim, thank you for saving me. But we had a blast. If you've never come to Youth Explosion, which you know, if you didn't come last year, you haven't. We do a lot of crazy things because it's for teenagers, and they are insane. So we have to be insane. Again, I've only been working with teenagers for a short period of time, but I'm already crazy. So they make you that way. I think you have to be. But again, I'm really excited about this year's Youth Explosion. I do have many flyers. We have 2,500 to pass out. Last year we had a couple hundred left over, but some of these are downstairs. If you want to pack, just let me know. I'll give you some. I know it's still about a month away, but we're already getting them out. And it is for 6th grade through 12th grade. I should have put that on there. I put 12 years old, through senior in high school, but 6th grade. So if you're 6th grade, I know some of the girls are asking me, oh, I'm not 12 yet. You can still come and participate. But a lot of things are going through. When it gets closer and I see who wants, who's volunteer, I'll give you a little sheet of what we need, all that kind of thing. But I do have a sign-up sheet. I need food workers. I need soul winners. So I wrote down Mrs. Morin. Where's she at? She already told me. Write her name down. We need registration. Bus drivers. I have one bus driver so far. I need three more. So hopefully we get those. And I need bus workers. But if I can have these passed around. Kitty, if you can just give these to both sides. And you can sign up for something. We do need a lot of help. A lot of time goes into this. I kind of feel bad having this like a month after missions conference of all this time and all this money being spent into the missionaries. But this is our mission field. Adrian, Tecumseh, Onstead, Blissfield, all this area. And I really want to try our best to reach the public schools. I have posters to put up on the public schools. Last year, they let me put those up, so hopefully they'll let me do that again. But really excited about it. Again, if you have any questions about it, you can come see me. And as far as the items, I put most of the small items back there, but we do have some big items to give away, like Xbox 360, stuff like that, again, to get the kids in. But if you want to help, $20 towards that, just come see me. I will not refuse it, so you can come and like, hey, here's $20. But we need a lot of help with food. I know the food this year, the kids are excited. We're doing pizza, hamburgers, and still debating the last day. I don't think we're doing nachos. Anyone remember nachos from last year? The workers did a great job. It's just so hard to have that much nacho cheese warm the entire time. But I hope you get excited about Youth Explosion. This is something that we can do to help young people in our area, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Turn your Bible to Psalm 114. 144 and verse 1. I know what tomorrow, having no school, the teenager said, preach as long as you want. We don't care. And then I remember the business meeting, so I thought, you know what, I better keep it under an hour, maybe. I'll be between like 5 minutes and an hour. So we're anywhere in there, I can stop. You never know. But Psalms 144 and verse 1. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Father, thank you for today, and thank you just so much for this church, such a giving church. Just so many different things that we do throughout the year with Vacation Bible School and the Soul Winning Tent and Missions Conference and now Youth Explosion. We ask them so much because you ask of us so much. And Lord, just help us to fulfill the Great Commission and do what we need to do in our area and also to send missionaries around the world. Be with me as I preach this. And Lord, help it to come out correctly so that people can learn something from it. And Lord, help us just be motivated. We love you. Amen. The Bible says again in Psalms 144, verse 1, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. I have 9 brothers and sisters, like everybody knows. When we first joined the church, it was pretty exciting because like, yeah, we got like 5% more church members. A lot of kids in our family. But if you have that many brothers and sisters, or you even have one brother or sister, you've probably gotten in a couple fights in your life. Especially if there's, boys. Boys just like to fight. And again, am I going to say that's wrong? It was fun when I was a kid, but don't do it now. That's the thing. Do as I say, not as I do. Isn't how parents say that? But I remember as a young person, I don't really remember fighting a lot as a kid. But, you know, sometimes you fight over the very important things, like who gets the Nintendo controller, who gets the remote control for the TV, which we didn't have one. Ours was channel like 2 and 4 and 7. Remember the old days where you have like 3 stations? And, you know, once in a while you could watch something if you had the kid, like, taped to the back of the TV so you could have the static all right and everything. Now kids have, like, 4,000 channels and all this kind of thing. But I grew back up in the good old days of TV like that. But so we'd fight over that kind of thing. But I don't really remember fighting. I remember fighting one time specifically with my brother Cody, which I don't mess with him now because he could hurt me really, really easily. But I remember one time my mom said, whoever gets their chores done, well, actually, you have to get your chores done before you can go outside. And my chore was at this time, and again, if you have that many kids, you never have to do anything because the kids are supposed to do all the chores because you don't normally have, like, you know, 10 bedrooms, so just clean your room. But anyway, they say whenever you get your stuff done, you can go outside and play. We like to play hockey. My brothers and I, we play hockey all day long on Saturdays, and it was a lot of fun. And we used to play in the street just to make you grandmas really nervous all the time, and we never looked for cars, but it was a blast. But we both had to vacuum a room. And me being the nice older brother that I am, I allowed him to go first, face first into the ground. And I'm putting my hand in his face to get over him. And I remember we started fighting and wrestling and kind of doing like the punching as, you know, only 8-year-olds can do. We don't know how to fight. You know, we think we were big and bad, but then when you get in a fight, you just kind of slap and, you know, push each other, you know. But that's the only time I really remember getting in a fight. I think it's kind of funny, you know, dealing with guys and girls, young people. You know, guys, when I was teaching gym class, we play football, and they get mad at each other if they tackled each other, which is kind of the point of football. And then they get in a fight, and then 5 minutes later, they're all the best buds and all that kind of stuff. I always thought that was kind of funny how guys are built that way. So I think sometimes guys are just built to fight. We're just built to be like that. And then I was thinking about people. Some people just love to fight. You'll look around and whatever you say about a subject, there's always somebody that has something to say about that. Or they always want to give their opinion. Don't you love the people like, well, bless my heart, you know, God's heart, I'm just going to tell people what I think. Don't you love those people? No. So if you're one of those people, we don't like you. Stop it. No. But you always have people that like to fight over everything. I like blue. I like red. And it's normally women. That's why I made that voice. But it always seems like they like to fight over everything, no matter what it is. Now, there are the other option. There's the people that don't fight over anything. You can say whatever you want to them. You can make fun of their family. You can do whatever you want, and they just sit there, all passive. They never want to say anything. They just sit there, do nothing. And there's people like that. There are also the people that are just sick and tired of everything. You ever met someone like that? And again, I'm not saying to anybody in the church, but just being out there. Sometimes I'll see older people and I'm like, man, I hope I don't get like that where I just hate the world and everything around me. And I was going through the store the other day and it just seems funny how some people just get, I'm so sick of all the problems of the world. I'm so sick of this, or I'm so sick of kids. You know, I'm not going to fight with anything anymore. Do whatever you want. I don't care. And sometimes parents get that way. Like, you know what? I don't care. Give me too many problems. But I want to talk to you about a subject tonight. I want to talk about fighting. Fighting. A lot of times I think Christians forget that we are in a war. And I'll read you a verse, a very, very popular verse. Everyone knows this verse. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I'm afraid too many Christians read that verse a little different. Too many Christians, sometimes we can read that verse, you know, pay attention, because this annoying little person called the devil walks around going meow, meow, and sometimes makes you sneeze and gets you upset a little bit. And I'm afraid too many Christians are that way. Well, we don't really think that Satan has a game plan. We don't really think that Satan is in battle with us. The Bible doesn't say that he's just going around and trying to get on our nerves. It doesn't say that. It says that he's roaring. He's announcing that he's here. He says, hey, I want to kill you. Amen. If someone says that they want to kill me, I'm not going to just say, okay, and do nothing about it. If someone says, you know, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to steal everything that you have. I don't think you, as a man, you're talking to men, most of us have guns, right? We can kill things, yes, everything. I've already told teenagers this. Teenagers, again, I'll reiterate, and parents maybe. Okay, I'm a proud gun owner. If your kid comes over to my house at 2 o'clock in the morning to play a practical joke, I'm not responsible for what happens next, because I don't know who it is, just to give you that little heads up. Plus, they don't know where I live. That's awesome. I haven't got a TP'd yet. That's nice. But sometimes we just kind of go through life thinking, you know what? Yeah, Satan, he's there, but he's just that annoying little guy. Yeah, we're going to beat him. And I know we are going to win. We're winning this. We're going to win the war. We're going to win the battle. But Satan does have a game plan. And Satan is coming after us. And a lot of times we're just kind of sleeping. We're just kind of sitting there and, yeah, we come to church. Yeah, we read a Bible once in a while. But are we really in this battle? Are we really in this fight? Are we really a soldier in God's army? And I love a lot of the things that we do at the church. It is geared towards soul winning and geared towards getting people in church. And again, this is such a giving and loving church. But I just talk to us about fighting tonight. What are some things that we should fight over? First of all, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, you don't turn there, 9:25-26 says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beeth air. So Paul's saying here that a lot of people, they fight and they war and they have this goal in their life that they want to obtain this amount of money, or they want to drive this kind of car, or they want this kind of kid, or they want their kid to go to this college, and they obtain these goals that some of them are not bad goals, but they're corruptible. They go away once you're in heaven. They go away. And the Bible says that he kind of said that like a boxer. I was talking to my dad about maybe some of the members of the church remember the Thrilla in Manila. If you remember Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali. Not saying boxing is for everybody, but just say, you know, it's a classic fight. And watching how they would prepare for those kind of fights and they would box and they would shadow box. Okay, whenever you see someone shadow box, they're just kind of pumping and they're kind of just boxing against nobody. They all look like world champions. They look amazing. Like, man, how could someone beat that guy? He has such great footwork and he punches so well. But they're fighting against nothing. And the Bible says that when we have goals, our goal is just to have money. Our goal is just to have a certain status in life. The Bible says that, hey, yeah, you can attain to some of those things. But that's not really what matters. We shouldn't be someone that just kind of boxes the air. It doesn't accomplish anything. We should have a much higher standard, much higher goal. And I want to just give you real quickly, I want to give you quickly a few things that we need to fight for. And there's a lot of things that we need to fight for. But I just picked a couple of things that we need to fight for as a church, as parents, as husbands, as wives. We need to fight for. Number one, fight for your family. Fight for your family. Again, going into the public schools last year, which I had the opportunity to do all year, three times a week, I was in the public schools volunteering, seeing the kids, talking to them. It's amazing. Again, I know that a lot of times people that don't go to the public school, you hear lots of things. And I met a lot of good teachers at the public school, a lot of teachers that care for kids. I met some good principals and not so good principals. But I got to meet a lot of the staff at the public schools in our community here. And just talking to the kids and seeing what they go through and talking to them. And I asked one girl one time, she was 14 at Springbrook, hey, what'd you learn today? And she went into everything she learned in sex education. And I'm so glad that we have a Christian school. And again, I went to public school for 3 years. And I'm very happy that we're able to be able to teach our kids what the Bible says. Again, there's a lot of good people in the public school. But just going in there and seeing that there's no family atmosphere. There's no, hey, this is husband and wife. That's what it is. It's not taught that way. It's, well, you can have an alternative lifestyle. That's okay. And the teachers are so, again, I've talked to many of these public school teachers, so I do know what I'm talking about with this. They're so scared to tell the kids anything because they don't want to get sued. They don't want to get laid off. And even myself, I am not, let's just say kiss up. Put it that way. I'm not a kiss up. But I even had to play that game a little bit when I was able to go to public schools. I couldn't say certain things. I wasn't able to wear Berean Baptist T-shirts that I had made up. I couldn't really do much in that aspect, just to kind of encourage the kids, you know, don't do drugs, that kind of thing. I had to play that game a little bit, but it just seemed that the family is not the focal point anymore. And even if you watch TV, I was talking to my dad about this the other day, we were going to work, and it does seem like anything that you watch on TV as far as TV shows nowadays, it's either a single parent or a couple that hates each other, or where it's really hilarious that the kid tells the dad to shut up and calls him by his first name. And it seems that that's all that it's built around nowadays. Families, we need to fight for your family. Again, I don't have kids yet. And when I have kids, again, I have an idea of what I want to do with them as far as discipline and things. But you need to fight for your family. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, take an interest for your kids. This is what I see a lot with as far as going into families' houses and visiting with them and talking with them. A lot of the parents will make excuses. Well, I don't have time to spend with my kids because I'm too tired when I come home. And I'll just have the TV watch my kid. And I used to have to babysit sometimes, and when I babysat my brothers and sisters, it was normally like Barney or something. And I just set him in front of that. You know, I was like 12, 13 years old, whatever, I don't know. But I used to do that sometimes, but I'm afraid that's a lot of the ways that parents, you know, have their kids, hey, I'm too tired to help you with your homework, I'm too tired of this with you, so let's go watch TV. Or just go play video games. And so many things, we have our kids being trained by the school, trained by church, but do you take an interest in training your child? Do you take an interest and do you say, you know, hey, little junior, here, I'm going to teach you something about God's Word. Hey, you know, men, it is okay to talk to your son or daughter about the Bible. That's okay. You don't have to just wait till Sunday or Wednesday. And I've talked with our guys about this in Sunday school before. How come it seems like even as Christians, we're kind of wary bringing up God unless it's like church? I never understood that. But we need to fight for it. We need to fight for our family. Don't just let your daughter or your son just do what they want because I don't have enough time to deal with this anymore. I got so much pressure at work. I don't want to deal with that anymore. Don't be like that. Man, this is just your kids. This is what's going to be our next generation. It's like, well, so how come there's so many kids that are so rebellious nowadays? How come there's so many kids that just, so many teen pregnancies and so many kids that do that kind of thing? How come that is? You know where it starts? It starts with the family. It doesn't just start with a public school. Yes, that sometimes the things they teach don't help. But when you have, again, I know a lot of great Christians that come out of public school. I know a lot of people here probably came out of public school. You can still succeed and go to public school, by the way. But you come home, you have to have parents that care for you, love you. And just seeing all the bus kids that we pick up sometimes, they don't have that. And I say, oh, I don't understand why one of our bus kids is so different than our church kid that has parents that love them. Why don't you go in their home? I've been in most every single one of our teenagers' homes, the bus kids' homes, and it's sometimes just real scary in there. And again, I'm not giving them excuses. I'm not trying to say that they don't have a choice, because they do. But if I was in some of those bus kids' homes and my parents were like that, I don't think I'd be where I'm at. I don't even know if I'd be in church. And we need to remember that it is a Christian family. Isn't it our responsibility to evangelize our own home? Just to get our own home? And we lose some of our own kids because we don't keep that in mind. Now again, sometimes you can train your kids and do everything right, and sometimes they still make the wrong choices. I understand that. But we need to fight for our families. Leaders in the home, the men. Nothing wrong with having devotions at home. Nothing wrong with that. You can have devotions. Maybe you only have it two or three times a week. Maybe your work schedule doesn't allow to have it all the time. Nothing wrong with opening up the Bible and have a 10-minute devotional. Read your Bible with your kids. Pray with your kids. Nothing wrong with that. Train up your children the way they should go. Have a relationship with your kids. You know, a lot of times, rules without relationships leads to rebellion. Just do what I say because I say it to. Yes, your kids are supposed to do that. And I would love if all kids are like that. But have a relationship with your kids. If all your kids hear from you, don't do this, don't do that, but you don't, hey, let's go out hunting. And I know a lot of you men take your son or daughter hunting. Hey, you know, let's go throw the football around. Let's go shopping. Let's go do this. Have a relationship with your kids. Number two, we're going to have to go real quick. Number two, fight for your church. Fight for your church. Now, again, when I say fight, I don't mean go out there and punch people in the face. I don't mean that. When I say fight for your family, it doesn't mean just go and beat your kids. That's not what I'm saying. But it's a spiritual battle. It's not a battle that we fight with our fists. It's a battle we fight in our minds, a battle we fight spiritually. Fight for your church. The Bible says, husband loves your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So God gave himself for the church. This is not something that we just play. Maybe some of you kids like to play, Susie Homemaker, or you play church. Remember sometimes as kids we play church, and, you know, my sister would be the preachers. No, they weren't. My parents never let that happen. But we kind of play church sometimes. And I think sometimes Christians, including myself, we play church. We kind of just go through the motions. Where do we just go? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. How many of you ever went to church? Answer this in your mind. How many of you ever went to church just waiting to leave? Uh-oh, that's kind of hard. I was talking to somebody before, and they kind of asked me, how long is your church service? Out soul winning and talking to people. And a lot of people do ask kind of different questions out soul winning. So how long is your church service? And I told them, it's like, man, that's just way too long. It's like, well, we don't go to church just ready to get out. That's not our goal. It's 7 o'clock, which actually it is 7 o'clock. We got to get out now. That's not what our church is about. Fight for your church. Show your kids that church is important. Hey, when church starts, be here. Sunday school, be here. That would be really nice. I think a lot of times our kids fail because the parents don't show them church is important. And again, I'm not trying to hurt people's feelings, but it is really hard on, again, someone that's trying to teach your kids that church is important when the parents don't tell them that church is important. And again, I don't think I'm the smartest man in the world, but I do know more than your 13-year-old or 14-year-old. I can help them a little bit, and this church can. Show them the church is important. Number three, walk with God. Walk with God. I was thinking this mission conference. I know mission conference is so busy, and again, I'm so grateful this church is so mission-minded and how much they give to missions. And just seeing the missionaries. Last year, we had Wes and Cynthia Paula in our group, in the Letson's group, and I went to college with him. He was my bus captain for 2 years, and just seeing them cry over the gifts and just the love that was shown, it's amazing. I've never seen a church give as much as this church. For the size of our church, you do give a lot, and we appreciate that. But just looking at here, going to missions conference and Youth Explosion and VBS, we do a lot of serving. We really do. We do a lot of serving. But sometimes, because we serve so much, our walk with God is lacking. So how can that be? The easiest place, and people have heard this, if you've been to Bible college, you understand this. Easiest place to backslide is in Bible college. And sometimes I go a month without reading my Bible because I'm so involved with all this stuff. I'm doing all these things for God. Don't forget your walk with God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, you don't turn there. Now it came to pass, they went and entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, like some of us, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? But bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. What thing is needful? And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Again, we are so involved. Yeah, I got to be on a bus route. And you do. And again, we still need a bus driver if we can have anyone. I know work schedules get involved sometimes, but we still need bus drivers for Tecumseh. Any bus drivers for Youth Explosion. But sometimes you get so involved with everything that we think, hey, we had someone saved today. I could take tomorrow's devotions off. I know that seems crazy. And the kids know I'm very transparent. I've been there before. Man, I'm doing so well in my visiting and my bus route. I don't have to bring a Bible. That's so stupid. That's one of Satan's tricks of getting to think that we're doing better than we really are. But we have to fight distractions. I tell the kids all the time, as far as getting distracted, we can, yeah, sometimes we get up really early and we have things to do and homework and we want to play video games, we want to watch TV, we have basketball, volleyball, all these kind of things, and we can so easily get distracted and make excuses. Well, I don't have time. I don't have time. Now, if you don't have time to read your Bible and you pray, you don't have time to watch TV. You don't have time to play video games. Again, is all these things always wrong? No, they're not. I have TV. I have video games. But you have to make your priority. You have to fight for it. Don't just give in. Well, yeah, I want to come home. I just want to relax. I hear that all the time. And you know what? I've said it before. You know, I had a long, hard day. It was so stressful at work. I'm just going to go home and just turn my brain off and just relax, watch TV. And there's times for that. There's times to be able to just sit and just relax. But I'm reminded of a great man's quote, George Mueller. And he said one time, in a quote, I'm not going to have it exact, apologize. But he said, when I'm really, really busy, I'll pray for 2 hours. When I'm extremely busy, I'll pray for three. When I'm so busy I can't even think straight, I'll pray for four. Am I there? No, I'm not there. I'm striving. I'm trying. But so we need to fight for our walk with God. Don't just give up on it. Oh, it's so hard. Why should I miss the day? I'm just going to stop. I miss the day. I'm just going to stop. No, you need to fight for that. Fight for that. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses why you can't do that. I hate hearing people, I can't do this. I can't do that. And again, just being in the public schools. And again, I know some people have learning disabilities, but so many of those kids, well, the teacher says I can't do this, or my parents said I can't do that. You can do things. You can read your Bible. You can understand the King James Version. Just don't be lazy. Number four, last one, we need to fight for souls. Hey, why do we have Vacation Bible School? Why do we put up with all those snotty kids that wreck our pews and jump on us and yell and scream and yell at the devil all the time? Why do we have these kind of things? Well, it's a tool we fight with. You know, why do we have our missions conference? Well, we're in a battle. We're not just here to sit and relax. One day we're going to be in our spas in heaven. My heaven has a spa. Huge hot tub. It's going to be awesome. Mountain Dew fountain. It's going to be great. We're going to have that one day. How do I know that we have that? Well, the Bible says he'll give us the desire of our heart. Now he does say we're going to change the desires when we get to heaven, but that's a different story. But we're going to have time to relax. We're going to have time to sit and just calm, not have to think about things like this anymore. But right now we are in a battle. We have many, many souls saved here, and I do want to brag it real quick on our teenagers. For a while, we didn't have someone saved in soul winning, if I can say it right, teen soul winning. The last 6 weeks, though, we've had 29 saved from the teenagers. Five of them last week were saved by with the missionaries, but 24 saved by your teenagers in 6 weeks. I think that's pretty awesome to be able to see them go out. And again, we don't have a lot of time on Wednesdays. It seems like right when I dropped the last one off, I got to pick up the first one. But they've had, I don't know what it is, but I'm praying about it, and I'm thanking God for it. I don't know if we're doing something different. We're just going out. But it's amazing that they're getting pumped up about it. They're getting excited about it. And again, encourage your teenager to do that. Encourage them. And adult, you can get pumped up about your teenager having people saved too. Brandon Jordan had his first person saved this last Wednesday. That's awesome. That's amazing. I remember my first person saved. I was out teen soul winning when Pastor Todd was here. And it's a great thing. But the Bible says in Isaiah 14:9, it says, hell, and this is a very popular verse, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth of the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. So the Bible says that, okay, the person is walking throughout the earth. Okay, I'm a lost person. I'm just walking. Walk. I'm going through life. Have my goals. Have my ideas. It also says that hell is actually waiting for me to die so that it can swallow me up and take me to hell. I know that kind of scares me, that maybe a loved one in your family could just be that close. They die and go to hell. It's right there. It's waiting for them. It's waiting for them. And maybe you think of like, I always think of, this is kind of weird, I know. I always think of like a dog sitting at your table and you're eating a big, juicy filet mignon steak, which most of us can't afford right now. But you're eating one of those, right? And you're eating it and your dog's sitting there panting. How many have dogs? Yeah, I know your dog does that. And it doesn't matter what you're eating, it wants it. But you're sitting there panting and it wants your food. And cats, you know, they're so much more graceful. They just come over and just take it. But dogs, they sit and they wait. I don't like cats because they're horrible. Anyway, but they're sitting there, they're kind of just panting, waiting for you to drop that. And that's what hell is. Hell is just waiting for people to die. Just cannot wait for people to die. And the Bible says that he doesn't have any respect to persons. The Bible says it's going to move kings away so that you can actually fit down in there. Maybe you moved before. My wife and I had to move quite a bit when we came to the area here. And you're kind of, we have to stuff everything in here. We got dishes, and we're stuffing all the dishes in one box. And if you're like me, man, we just throw things in there. We don't care what it is. It's labeled dishes, and we have like, you know, towels and clothes and everything in there. We just don't care. As long as you get it in a box and get it somewhere, we're fine. But women have to be really organized, and that's fine. That's awesome. But men, we're not like that. And we don't care what it is. We're going to move things around. We'll adjust things just to get as many things in there as possible. You know, hell says it's the same thing. So hell says, I'm going to move people out of the way so there's a room for you when you fall and you die and you go into a burning hell. And again, this is not something that I ever joke around with kids. This is something that is very important for young people to understand, that people die and go to hell. They do. And it does make me upset, and I do get sad about it. When I went soul winning, I get so upset sometimes that it would move me to tears, and sometimes that does happen. But I do realize that some people are going to reject it, and that we have to move on to the next person. The Bible says if someone doesn't listen to you, dust off your feet, go to the next house. And I understand that, but it still breaks my heart when someone denies and they say, you know what, I don't need that. Say, so, and you want to yell at them, yes, you do, you need this, you need to go to heaven. But they just say, no, I don't want that. Well, you know, I don't believe what the Bible says. But we need to constantly fight for it. Fight for souls. Good fight. Go out there, go soul winning. Again, if you can't go with the church, if you can't go with the teens, have a time to go. Have a time to tell someone else about going to heaven. I remember one time my dad and I and my brother, we were working on something here at the church. And we were driving home. We just turned out on Mommy here. And we didn't know really what was going on, but we were driving on the road. And just actually, we just got on the road because right next to us, the church next door, these five guys were just beating up this other guy. Don't know what happened. Still don't know what was happening. But I don't know if you've ever seen someone up close get beat up on that, get his face kicked in and get stomped on, get beat up. It's not a pretty sight. And again, I didn't know that person from anybody else. Still don't know his name. But that has got my blood boiling. And my dad honked on the horn. We went over the curb, got real close to him. Being the awesome, you know, 16-year-old that I am, I'm going to go beat him up. I got a crowbar. My brother got a hammer. Got out of the car. Got out of the truck. We didn't know what we were going to do. We've never gotten a fight before. But we're going to do something. And we got out there, and, like all gangs, they were really scared when you had more than one person there, just by the way. It does seem kind of funny. They're all big and bad unless there's more than two of you, and then they're scared. But we ran them off, and we tried to talk to the guy. But I remember that. I still vividly remember that, how much that I wanted to help that person. I didn't know, because he was getting beaten up, had some superficial wounds that were going to heal. He was fine. He didn't have any major injuries. But how many times we can walk by people and just not even think about it. Yeah, they're going to go to hell, but what can I do about it? You can tell them. That could be a start. Now, again, I'm not saying you have to be one of those weird people that run around with tracks falling out of your pocket. Get saved, and run around and be someone that scares people away because you're a little bit too aggressive. If anyone to the Shawnee Conference, you remember some of the ways they had to witness. That's not the best way to witness. But you can still be a witness for God. You can tell people how to heaven. Hey, be a fighter. Don't be someone that is, there's so many people that die and go to hell. What's the use? There is a use. There is use. That's why we're having Youth Explosion. That's why we have these flyers to pass out. That's why we're having these kind of things. We have youth or VBS because we want people to be saved. We want them to come because we want to be able to disciple them. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. How many of you are alive today? How many of you are alive? You haven't finished your course. It's still going. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. You still have a fight in this. Everybody's fight changes as you get older. You're not going to be out there running around in a bus, except for the Baileys. They are like invincible. But of course, they're not old, though. They're in their 40s. But maybe it changes. But you're not. If you're alive and you're breathing, you still have a fight. Maybe you can't get out very much, but maybe you can pray for a Youth Explosion. Maybe you have lots of money. I know, it's a joke. Maybe you can give to Youth Explosion. Maybe you are very charismatic. Maybe you're not charismatic. You can be a soul winner. You can talk to people. We all have a place in this fight. We all have a position in the army. And sometimes we just forget that. Sometimes we just go through it and, man, all these bad things happen in the world and all these, you know, Obama's trying to kill us and everything. And I just want to give up. Can't give up. We have such a short time on this earth to fight. Let's do that. Father, thank you for today. Just help us as Christians to remember we're in a battle. We're not here to try to be here on earth and just see how many people we can just have the same people at church every week. We want to see people saved. And Lord, help us to remember that we're in a battle. We need to fight for our families. We need to teach our kids what is right and wrong. We need to fight for our church. We need to fight for our walk with you. We need to fight for souls and have people saved. And if everybody could stand, we're going to turn to 320. Invitation song. If you need to talk to God about anything, say, God, I'm not a fighter like I should. I don't fight like the way that you tell us to. If it's about something else, if it's about a job that you need, anything that you need to pray about, come up and do that.